This Is Your Life, episode 28.
This is your life. Are you who you wanna be?
Hello and welcome to this episode of This Is Your Life. My name is Michael Hyatt, and this is the podcast dedicated to intentional leadership. My goal is to help you live with more passion, work with greater focus, and lead with extraordinary influence. In this episode, we'll be talking about early morning rituals and how they can set you up to be more productive, more successful, and more healthy. They might even enable you to make more money. But first, this podcast is brought to you by Bluehost Web Hosting, the only web hosting service I personally recommend. Why? Because it's easy to use, reliable, and inexpensive. It's also the official top recommendation of WordPress itself. Maybe you're not sure how to set it up. Well, no problem. I have a free step-by-step, click-by-click screencast that'll walk you through the entire process of setting up your very own self-hosted WordPress blog. And you don't have to have any technical expertise. I promise you can do it in 20 minutes or less. And you can find out more at michaelhyatt.com/WordPress setup. And on that page, I'll also provide you with a link to get a hosting account for only $3.95 a month, which is a special discount that Bluehost is now offering to my blog readers and my podcast listeners. So be sure and take advantage of that offer while you can. So let's talk about your early morning ritual and why it's so important. First, would you consider yourself to be a morning person? I've always been one for as long as I can remember. But according to a 2007 poll conducted by the Gallup organization, 55% of U.S. adults consider themselves morning people, so a little over half. 15% consider themselves afternoon people, 20% consider themselves evening people, and 6% consider themselves late night people. So if you're a morning person, you're definitely in the majority. And if you add all those numbers up, to you'll be missing about 4%, which evidently the number of people that didn't have an answer to the question. But interestingly, according to some other research I did, and I've got the links in the show notes, morning people tend to make more money, be more productive, be healthier, and live longer, and perhaps most importantly, be happier and more satisfied in their lives. Now, the good news is that if you aren't a morning person, you can become one or learn to become one. And I know this is not possible for everyone due to, you know, your life circumstances or perhaps your job requirements, but there's a great article on Zen Habits, the website Zen Habits, called 10 Benefits of Rising Early and How to Do It. And I've got a link again in the show notes where you can find out more information on that particular article. But what about the ritual part of the equation? What do you think of when you hear early morning ritual? Does that have a negative connotation? I know for many people that it does. And I think primarily because of its religious association. For many people, that means something kind of dead and lifeless where you're just going through the motions. But if you look it up on dictionary.com, the first definition of ritual is this, quote, an established or prescribed procedure for a religious or other rite. The problem is that we exclusively think of this in religious terms, and it really has a much broader connotation or can have than that. Here's how I'm defining ritual. I define it as this, quote, a prescribed procedure for achieving a specific result. In other words, for me, it's kind of like a recipe. For example, this is an area where I really applied the concept of rituals was to my golf game. Now, I don't golf that much anymore. I've kind of traded in my golf game for running, and I can't do both on a Saturday morning, my long run and golf. So I've pretty much jettisoned the golf and in favor of running. But one year, I got really intentional about improving my golf game. I took lessons, I practiced a bunch, I read books about golfing, and I developed or created this 9-step ritual for hitting the ball straight and long off the tee box. And it went like this. And I'm just trying to illustrate the principle of engineering a ritual. So for me, with being able to shoot longer and straighter off the tee box, here was my ritual. Step one, I stood directly behind the ball, holding the driver in my left hand. And I'm right-handed, but I would hold it in my left hand for this particular first step in the ritual. Step two, I'd look down the fairway and I'd identify the exact spot where I wanted my ball to land. Step three, I'd tap the head of my club twice on the ground. Step four, I then would walk up adjacent to the ball, take my stance, putting the club head directly behind the ball. Step five, I'd lift the club head up and back about 10 inches, and then I'd place it right back down behind the ball where I started. Step six, I took a deep breath and exhaled, relaxing my shoulders, which is where I tend to hold tension, and tension is the enemy of performance when it comes to any kind of sport. Step number seven, I would then look at my target and then back at the ball. Step eight, I then would swing the club, trying to think of nothing other than the target. And then step nine, I would complete my swing with my eyes still staring at where the tee was. You know, the old adage, keep your head down. Now, did that ritual always produce the intended result? You know, a 300-yard drive straight down the middle of the fairway? No, but it increased the probability of achieving the intended result. Not because I'm superstitious, but I believe that this would kind of set me up and get me in the frame of mind to produce a consistent result. And by the way, the truth is that you already have dozens of rituals. Rituals are inescapable. You probably have a ritual for driving to work, and one when you get to the office, and another one when you get home from work, and indeed one when you get up in the morning. The only question is whether or not you are intentional about your early morning ritual and whether or not your ritual is producing the results you want in your life. So here's my premise for this episode. Anyone, including you, can design a more effective early morning ritual by following seven steps. And let me acknowledge my bias. I am a morning person, as I said earlier. There are certain things I want to accomplish before I begin interacting with other people in the daytime. And I know if I do these things first thing, I've got a much higher probability of getting them checked off my list and not having my day hijacked and these activities just ignored or not accomplished because I got busy into the day before I intended. So here are the seven steps. Step number one, acknowledge that you already have a ritual. I'm not asking you to adopt something new. This is not something to add on to your already busy life. This is simply re-engineering something you already have in place. So just look at your life, look at your early morning activities, and acknowledge that there's a ritual. I'll bet you that it probably doesn't deviate much. You know, it may be as simple as you turn off the alarm clock and go back to sleep for 10 minutes and then wake up and turn it back off and go back to sleep for 5 minutes and then wake up, get out of bed, brush your teeth, have a cup of coffee, whatever it is you do. There's a ritual that's already there, and I'm just asking you to be intentional about re-engineering what you've already got in place. Step number two is to document your existing ritual. What are the key components of your ritual? What is it that makes up your morning ritual? From the time you wake up till the time you leave for work or get started with your day, what are the components that make up that ritual? And be honest, both the positive things and the negative things, the things that you're not so proud of, the things that you are proud of, write them down. You're going to want to continue with some of these components. Others you're probably going to want to throw out because you've simply grown beyond this or you want to do something different. And that's a great thing, frankly, about being a human is we can make choices. We don't have to be, you know, locked in like Pavlov's dog that when there's the stimulus, we have to respond in a certain way. We can choose our responses. We can change our habits. We can build completely new rituals that better serve the ends that we want to accomplish, which leads me to step three. Evaluate whether or not the ritual that you're employing now in your early morning routine is producing the results you want. If your current ritual is producing the results you want, great. No reason to change anything. But my guess is it's not. Or at least you suspect that there could be a different result. Otherwise, you wouldn't still be listening to this podcast, right? The truth is, you know you could improve. You are probably like most of my listeners. You're committed to never-ending growth, constant improvement, and you're looking for that extra edge. And that's really what I want to give you in this particular episode is that extra edge so that you can better engineer your morning routine and accomplish the results that you want. Step four, and this is where it starts to get interesting, is to determine the results you want and frankly, don't want. This, by the way, is the key to intentional living. Begin with the end in mind. Dr. Stephen Covey used to say that. He said that in the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Begin with the end in mind. And that's where I always try to start when I'm trying to produce a change in my life, is go all the way to the end of the story, to the end of the process, and to begin to articulate the outcomes I want. And in this particular case, you need to ask yourself, how do I want to feel when I've completed my early morning ritual? I know it's easy to poo-poo feelings, but honestly, your emotions drive so much of your behavior and determine the outcomes. I mean, just think about it. You know, how resourceful are you? How powerful do you feel? How much do you accomplish when you're discouraged, distracted, depressed, versus fully engaged, alert, and energetic? So how do you want to feel when you've completed your early morning ritual? And write these down as well, because this is the target. This is the thing that you're aiming for. This is the result you're trying to achieve. For example, here are mine. Listen, I don't want to feel, by the time I'm ready to start work, I don't want to feel disconnected with God. That's just me. You know, I really want to be connected with God, and I don't want to feel disconnected where he feels distant. I don't want to be negative and pessimistic, you know, complaining about the activities of this day or feeling a sense of dread about what I've got to go out and do. I don't want to feel weak and unsure of myself. I mean, humility is one thing. Insecurity, uncertainty are completely different things. I don't want to start feeling tired. I definitely don't want to feel tense or stressed or, again, dreading what I've got to face today. Instead, positively speaking, what I want to feel is I want to feel connected to God. I mean, my own belief is that I'm his child, that I'm on the earth for a purpose, that he's given me a specific mission, and I want to feel connected to him and, more importantly, empowered by him to do his will and to do what he has given me to do for this day. I also want to be positive and optimistic. You know, I want to be able to look forward to this day confident and strong and resourceful and believing that I can accomplish exactly what I need to do. Now, you know, the day may get derailed. I have, like everybody else, good days and bad days and days where I more or less control the things, the events that occur in the day, and other days when the day gets hijacked and things that I don't anticipate show up and I get distracted just like everybody else. But I want to begin the day at the end of my early morning ritual feeling positive, optimistic, strong, confident. I want to be energized. I want to feel like I've got sufficient energy to accomplish the tasks that I have on my list and the things that I really want to do today. I also want to be relaxed. I don't want to start the day stressed. There's going to be enough things that challenge me and perhaps stress me out or make me tense, but I want to start relaxed, just like when I'm swinging the golf club. I know I've got a better chance of performing at my peak when I'm relaxed than when I'm stressed. So step number four is to determine the results you want and don't want and visualize what that's going to feel like when you've performed your early morning ritual and you've really come out the other end of the chute having accomplished what you set out to do. Step number five is to re-engineer your current ritual. Now, I would brainstorm a list of all the components that you want to include in your early morning ritual. This could be everything from drinking a cup of coffee, to getting dressed, to reading your Bible, to reading a good book. I mean, it could be any number of things. Your list is going to look different from mine, and I'm going to give you my list here in just a second. But brainstorm a list of all the components you want to include, and then identify how much time each activity will take, because obviously you don't have all day to do this. You probably want to be involved in personal development or personal growth, but you don't have all day to do this. And depending on your life circumstances, you're going to have less or more time than somebody that you know well, but then arrange them in the appropriate sequence. What are you going to do first? What are you going to do second? What are you going to do third? What's the sequencing look like? Because you want to let the force of habit work for you. Get this ingrained even into your physiology and in your psyche so that you can produce a consistent result morning after morning. So for example, here's my current early morning ritual. I just re-engineered this back in July. Most of these components have been in place for a long time, but here's what I do now. I get up at 5 a.m. Again, that's just me. That may be way too early for you, for some of you, for a few of you. That may be later than you get up, but that's me. I get up at 5 a.m. and the first thing that Gail and I do, and we always get up together, is we make the bed. So that takes about 5 minutes. Then we go make a cup of coffee. And, you know, there have been times when I've cut out coffee, but I really enjoy a cup of coffee. So we make a cup of coffee. That takes about another 5 minutes. Then the first thing I really do, where I sit down, and I have a special chair that I do this in, and it's great to have a special place where you can do some of these rituals and some of these activities, but I just am quiet for 15 minutes. I put on my Bose headphones, I plug it into my iPhone, and I put on a music track that is nothing other than the sound of the ocean. I have a lot of good, great memories of being at the ocean. It's a sound that is kind of a trigger for positive emotion for me. It's also something that's very restful, that causes me to relax. And I basically try to think about nothing. You know, the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. That's what I try to do in these 15 minutes. I'm not praying. I'm not thinking about the activities for this day. I'm just trying to be quiet. And I've written on that on my blog, by the way, and I'll give you a link in the show notes to the particular post that I wrote about having a quiet time. Well, after those 15 minutes, I actually set a timer on my iPhone. So the 15 minutes goes off and then I'm done. And as I've gotten better at this, and as I've gotten more disciplined, that time has gone faster and faster. In fact, this morning I said to Gail, because she was in the same room in her special chair, and I said to her, I said, wow, I may need to lengthen this time because it's gone by so quickly. Now I'm really centered. Now I'm really focused. I'm relaxed. Now I go pray. And I spend 15 minutes doing this. And I've got, personally for me, I go through actually written morning prayers. I ad lib on those, but I want a track to run on. And I don't like being left to my own resources on that. I like having something that can prime the pump. And for me, those are written morning prayers. But I ad lib on them and I add to it my own prayers. And I have a prayer list of people and situations that I'm praying about regularly day by day. And that takes about 15 minutes too. Then the next thing, the next part of my ritual is that I read the Bible. I read through the Bible every year and I do it a little bit every day. I usually read an Old Testament passage, a New Testament passage, something from the Psalms and something from the Proverbs. And that enables me to read through the Bible in a year. And I'm not saying you have to do that by any means. I'm just telling you what my practice is. You know, the Bible is one of the greatest books ever written. In fact, the greatest book ever written, in my opinion. And even if you don't believe it, you know, it has shaped so much of Western civilization and English literature. It's just good to be familiar with the metaphors and the language and the way things are expressed, because they're used commonly in all kinds of cultural artifacts. So I read the Bible for 15 minutes. I'm personally looking for spiritual inspiration. I'm looking for this for be a way to connect with God and to hear from Him. So that takes me 15 minutes to go through that process. Then, and this is something I did add new in July, is that I journal. I use an application on my MacBook Air called Day One. It's only available on the Mac. Sorry for you PC users. I don't have a comparable recommendation for you, but it's just an application that I use to journal, and I write whatever's in my mind. I record where I am. I record the scriptures that I've read. I'd like to have a permanent record of that. There may be a particular verse that really spoke to me, and I'll cut and paste that from the Kindle Bible application that I use. And then I'll comment on it. And then I just kind of write, you know, processing what happened the previous day, maybe what I expect to accomplish today, maybe how I'm feeling about a specific situation or some issue that I'm trying to resolve. I don't let that be too structured. I don't write for anybody else. Probably no one will ever see what I'm writing in this journal. It's, you know, it's password protected, but it's just where I have an opportunity to process my thinking and kind of get in touch with my own thinking, with my own emotions. And it's hugely helpful. And I tell you, part of the reason it's so helpful is I think too many of us spend too little time evaluating or reviewing the events of our life. You know, we're so quickly going from this event to the next event that we don't have time to take a deep breath and to debrief on what just happened, so that we can grow in wisdom, so that we can grow in insight and get better at life as we progress. So that's about 15 minutes for me to journal. And I oftentimes force myself to stop after 15 minutes because I could write for a long time like that, but I got to get on with the other things. Then from there, I go and plan my day. I want a today list. That's my to-do list for today. I call it my today list. And I just go through all the different activities, all the different projects. I review them quickly. This only takes 5 minutes, but then I come up with a master list of the 5 to 7 things that I really feel I must. They're absolutely musts for me that I need to accomplish today. Then I go exercise and I listen to an audiobook, a podcast, or an audio program for about 45 minutes. This is a great way, I've talked about it before, a great way to kill two birds with one stone. While I'm exercising my body, I'm making the time go quickly because I'm also exercising my mind. So for today, for example, it's a little bit cold here in Nashville, Tennessee, where I live, about 40 degrees outside. Yeah, I could have put on some clothes and run in the cold, and occasionally I'll do that, but I decided to go to the gym today. We did this yesterday as well. And so I went to the gym and I got on the AMT, the Advanced Motion Trainer, which is a great machine, somewhere between a treadmill and a Stairmaster. And I stayed on that for 45 minutes and I listened to an audio program that I've been listening to now for several days in a row. It was fantastic. The time went fast. I was so stimulated, I didn't want to stop at the end of 45 minutes. So then I came home. So that whole process took about 45 minutes, a little longer, frankly, with the drive. The gym's not too far, but that I had to allow for the drive. Then I come home and I'm going to eat breakfast. I know that when I skimp on breakfast, I don't have the right blood sugar level to be functioning at my peak. My brain doesn't work as well when I don't eat breakfast. So I make sure that I eat a nutritious breakfast before I get a start on the day. Then I simply went and showered and dressed 15 minutes. So that for a total, I think I gave them the minutes on each one of these, but in case I didn't, that's a total of about 150 minutes or 2.5 hours. And again, that's everything. Exercise, my quiet time, doing some reading or getting some input, getting dressed, and all the rest. Your ritual, now listen to me on this, this is important. Your ritual will likely be very different. And that's okay. And you've got to take into account the season of life you're in. You know, if you're a young mother with small kids and they wake up at the crack of dawn, you're not going to be able to have a very elaborate ritual. I know there were times in my life when the only thing that I could really do was to spend a few minutes reading a chapter from the Bible, praying quickly, and then getting on with my day. There were days when I had to pray in the car. So your ritual is going to look very different, and that's absolutely fine. It's not so much what you do as much as you're intentional about what you do, that you're engineering this, that you're not just being yanked around by the forces of life and being in a reactive mode, but that you're being intentional. That's really what I'm advocating here. So step 5 is about re-engineering your current ritual so that it produces the results that you hope to produce. Then we get to step 6, implement your ritual. You know, this is pretty easy. You're never going to get it perfect. You've got to eventually do it. So just try it. And as I said earlier, I changed up my ritual this past July. My ritual has changed several times during my life and my career. But I changed it this last time while we were on vacation because I knew I would have the highest probability of success, the least amount of distractions, the least opportunity to be derailed from the whole process. I could be more focused. So you might want to do that at a special time when you can really be focused on it as well, but it's not necessary. The important thing is just to implement your ritual, be experimental, try something new, and just see how it goes for you. And then step 7 is tweak your ritual as necessary. You don't have to slavishly follow the same ritual. Look, rituals become dead and lifeless when we lose sight of the goal and we're just going through the motions. I know that's why oftentimes ritual has a negative connotation because people see it as something mindless that other people engage in, that they're not really being thoughtful about it. It doesn't have to be that way at all. You just let the force of habit carry you forward, but it doesn't mean you can't be intentional about it. So if your ritual isn't producing or isn't helping you reproduce the results you want, don't be afraid to change it. Several years ago, for example, I decided I was going to follow this more aggressive Bible reading plan, but honestly, it was more than I could keep up with. And it started stressing me out, which is the exact opposite of what I was trying to accomplish. So I killed it. I went back to the old plan and it was one of the best decisions that I could make in terms of my early morning ritual. So if there's something you're doing that's not working, don't be like the insane person that keeps doing it, hoping for a different result. go ahead and change it. Again, I'm arguing that you be intentional, not that you slavishly follow a specific routine. Personally, I believe these early morning hours are critical. I know not everyone's a morning person. As I said earlier, I'm going to address that here in just a minute with one of the questions. If you're not, that's fine. You can still use rituals to become more productive and effective. So let's go on now to a few listener questions. I've got the first one from Andrew. Take it away, Andrew.
Hey there, Michael. Andrew Mason from ProGuide.io. My question is, I know sequence is important. So what do you do when your morning rituals get derailed by something unexpected? Do you just abandon ship and just kind of hope for tomorrow, or do you retrace your steps later in the day? Thanks so much.
Andrew, great question. And certainly, there are times when my morning gets derailed. When I'm traveling, I mean, it could be 101 different things that make it happen. Maybe I'm sick. Maybe something unexpected happens. Recently, I had to take Gail to the airport really early, so it kind of blew out my morning, and I wasn't able to do my early morning routine. So just a couple thoughts on that. Number one, don't beat yourself up. That's not productive. That's not going to accomplish anything. I just think pick yourself back up and you know, you can hit it tomorrow. There's always another day where you can practice. Having said that, if I do have the opportunity to catch up later in the day, I do it. There have been times when I missed my quiet time in the morning, and I haven't had that special time where I'm just quiet and still, and I'll try to grab time later. I've done this on the airplane. When I get onto a flight, maybe I've had an early morning flight, and I'll do it after I get on the flight and after everything has settled down. So yeah, do your best to adapt. If you can't adapt, and if you fail, if you find yourself falling on your face, it's okay. Just get up, and tomorrow's another day, and keep going. Don't let it make you quit. I think that's the worst thing. I think if there's one thing I'm consistent at, it's consistent at starting over, consistent at picking myself up, consistent in re-engaging. But I fail just like everybody else does. Next question comes from Hank. Hank?
Hi, Michael. This is Hank Osborne from Goose Creek, South Carolina. My website is daddylife.net, where I encourage dads to rise above the level of mediocrity in marriage and parenting. On the subject of the rituals for the early morning, I'm much more of a night owl, and so is my wife. So that leaves our mornings to be less available for early morning rituals. So how do you deal with this dynamic in a family? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Hank, I actually had this question from a couple of other people too, and I went ahead and ran yours. It was the same question as the others. But it's a great question. And if you're a night owl, and if you really don't think you can change, then great, just adapt and figure something else out. Maybe you've got an evening ritual. And I know people that do this. They've got a whole routine that they go through in the evening that sets them up in preparation for the next day. They just get a little bit of a jump start on the day as compared to those of us who don't start till the next morning. But I would also encourage you to be intentional about it and to challenge this story that maybe you're telling yourself that you're a night owl and maybe you've just never tried anything different. The stories we tell ourselves and the identity that we have, you know, I'm a night owl. Well, who says? You know, I mean, is that baked into your physiology? Maybe, but maybe not. Maybe it's nothing more than a story we've told ourselves over a long period of time and we've gotten comfortable with and just accept it without challenging it. And all I'm suggesting is that maybe it would be helpful to just challenge it. You may come back to the same conclusion and say, no, you know, I've tried this and it's just not worth it and I'm a night owl. But I think there's some compelling reasons to set yourself up for success first thing in the morning, and it may just be worth giving it a shot. Next question comes from Leslie.
Hi, Michael. This is Leslie Samuel here. I blog at becomeablogger.com. And I have a question about early morning rituals. There are a number of things that I really try to get done in the morning. I like to do my devotions, get some exercise, produce content, because this is when I'm most productive. However, I keep getting sucked into checking my email and doing other stuff that really doesn't result in any growth for anything that I'm doing. So my question is, what are some practical things that you can suggest to help me get right to the important stuff and not waste any time first thing in the morning? Looking forward to your insight on that. Thank you so much for everything that you do. Take care and God bless.
That is a great question. And I'll tell you what, I think so many people struggle with this. And what happens is they start dancing around the slippery slope of their computer and they soon get sucked in to email, to Twitter, to Facebook, whatever it is. And I mean, you can lose a lot of time, a lot of hours, a lot of productivity by doing that. I just have a basic rule for myself. I'm not always perfect on this, but my basic rule says nothing else before my morning ritual. So I don't allow myself, most of the time, I don't allow myself to get sucked into email, because once I start, it's hard. The gravitational pull of that is very powerful, and it's hard for me to pull away from it. So I just don't do that. I have a rule that I'm not going to look at email until I've finished my early morning ritual. So I think to set up rules and then to set yourself up for success, and I'm going to answer another question here in a minute that talks a little bit about this, what you can do at night to set yourself up for success the next day. The next question comes from Matt.
Hey, Michael, this is Matt McWilliams from mattmcwilliams.com. When you have an unusual morning, say due to travel or other morning appointments, how do you adjust your routine to get back on track? Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, what I try to do, Matt, is be intentional the night before and be realistic. Like if I'm on the road and I've got an early morning speaking engagement like I do at the end of this week on Friday, you know, it's earlier than what I would like. It's going to cut into my early morning ritual. You know, that's fine. I want to be flexible, but I also want to be realistic and, you know, not set myself up in a situation where I have to get up at 3:30 in the morning just to, you know, just to check this stuff off. You know, I say, okay, and this is exactly what my plan is for this week. I'm not going to exercise on that day. You know, it's okay. I try to exercise every day. So if I only get, you know, 4, 5, 6 days a week, that's fine. There's always next week. I'm looking at the basic trajectory of my life, and I'm willing to allow some exceptions here and there. I'm not perfect, and that's okay. And I'm never going to be perfect. And I set that up as a standard. It's going to be very difficult to stick with it. So that's what I would do, is just be intentional about it. Think about it. Don't be caught surprised. Realize that when you travel, it's going to be different. And you've got to be able to flex with it. Tor had a great question as well.
Hey, Michael, this is Tor Constantino from the Washington, D.C. area. I write at thedailyretort.com. I'm curious, is there anything that you found that helps getting done the night before? I'm curious what those types of kind of overnight rituals occur, or night before rituals, that help kind of set up and tee up you having a great start to the next day. Any insight would be appreciated. Thanks so much. Bye.
Well, I could argue, if I had thought about it before I got your question, I could have argued that really this is where the battle is won or lost, in how you set it up the night before. And I think you're raising such an important issue, Tor. And for me, it begins by getting to bed on time. If I don't get to bed on time, I get up tired. I'm groggy. I'm not focused. I'm more easily distracted. So really, if there was a linchpin in the whole equation, it's that: get to bed on time. Gail and I aim to start going to bed at 9, and usually we're in bed by 10. I mean, that's like the outside parameter of when we want to be in bed, because we want 7 hours of sleep from 10 to 5 in the morning. The other thing I do is set out my exercise clothing. You know, it's just so easy to let that be an excuse, just, you know, too much hassle. And if you're a little bit fogged out, if you're groggy, you know, that's just one more thing that can be an obstacle in getting yourself out the door and doing the exercise you know you need to do. The other thing I try to do at night before I go to bed is close down all my applications on my computer so that I don't wake up in the morning looking at my mail program or looking at my Twitter feed and be tempted or be sucked into that. And I go one step further. I only open what I'm going to need in the morning. And for me, that's a couple of things. I'm going to have a PDF app. With two documents in it. I have my morning prayers in it, and I have my prayer list. I'm referring or bouncing back between those two. I have my Kindle app open on my desktop, which is where I read the one-year Bible. I do that so I can cut and paste to my diary. But my Kindle app is open, and then my day one journal is also open. Nothing else is open. That way, I'm the least likely to get sucked into these extraneous activities that can derail my morning. Travis comes with a. Travis has the last question. Travis?
Hi, Michael. This is Travis Dommert from I Run, You Run in Atlanta. Listeners can check out our blog and our accountability platform at irunyourun.com. Michael, it was great to see you at Catalyst, and I think you know we're pretty fond of positive habits at I Run, You Run. But sadly, we see most people give up on rituals before they've really become fully ingrained. And I'm curious, how have you maintained your early morning rituals? And what advice do you give others, particularly people who don't claim to be morning people? Thanks for all you do. Bye-bye.
Travis, this is a great question. And by the way, if you're listening to this and you haven't checked out irunyourun.com, I would highly encourage you to do that because it essentially makes it possible to gamify your morning rituals where you can keep track of them and make it like a big game. And this is what I do. Like when I was trying to implement the process of daily writing in my journal, I kind of made it a game. I just wanted to see how many days I could go in a row before I broke the pattern. And I actually went 90 days and then I missed a day and then I got right back on it. And this is a habit that I really think that I've built now into my system, but I try to gamify it, make it fun and see how many days I can go. Now, psychologists will tell you anything from it takes 21 days to 6 weeks of doing something every day to turn it into a habit. I don't know what the right answer is on that. I'm not a psychologist, but I know it takes several weeks and I know I have to do it every day. And even then, I can derail myself if I'm not careful. So again, I try to do that. I think accountability partner is a great way to do it as well. And when I was trying to journal, when I was trying to do the quiet time, I let Gail be my accountability partner. And she would just ask me. And of course, she would see me doing those things. And so it was really a motivation to me to keep going. Plus, again, I try to connect with the result. What's the result I want? What's the outcome that I want as a result of my early morning ritual? And that pulls me forward. If you know your why you're doing something, it can be a powerful motivation. And I think so many times we don't take the time to really be clear about our why, and then we get derailed and we lose our way. So the question I would leave you with on this episode is, what is your newly revised, re-engineered early morning ritual? I would love to hear from you because I'm going to get ideas, frankly, from what you share. So share with us the components and the sequence. What is your morning ritual? And you can do that by going to my blog at michaelhyatt.com/028, as in episode 28, michaelhyatt.com/028. Couple of announcements. I am excited to announce the publication of my brand new audio course entitled Everything You Need to Know to Get Published. If you've ever thought about writing a book, but didn't know where to start, this course is for you. Or if you've already got a book, but want to do everything you can to make the biggest splash you can in the marketplace, this course is also for you. But basically, it includes everything I have learned about publishing in my 30 years in the industry as a publisher, most recently as CEO of Thomas Nelson, a literary agent, and a two-time New York Times bestselling author. And it's distilled into 21 audio sessions along with a workbook. But I'm making available a special introductory offer where you can get it for $100 off and 4 free bonuses worth more than $150. But you can find out more if you're interested in that at michaelhyatt.com/get-published. I'm going to be in Vail, Colorado this next week speaking at the Launch and the Score conferences. The Launch Conference is a conference that my partner Ken Davis and I put on about the business of public speaking. And this year we'll also be joined by New York Times bestselling authors Lisa Turkhurst and Dan Miller. It's too late to get tickets, but we're recording it on video and hope to be offering it as an online course soon. And so I'm just giving you a heads up. Watch for that. I'll tell you more about it later when it's available. We're going to roll right from Launch into the SCORE conference. This is about the art of public speaking, and it's one of the most powerful and useful conferences I've ever attended. Now I'm a partner with Ken in that as well. But Ken Davis, Curtis Fletcher, Michelle Cachat, and I, along with a team of certified coaches, teach you how to have greater impact with your speaking. The conference is sold out, but make plans now. If you've ever thought about speaking or just want to be a better communicator, you can attend the next conference, April 7 through 11, 2013, in Rome, Georgia, at the beautiful Windshape Retreat Center. So mark your calendar, April 7 through 11. We'll be opening that conference for registration in the next couple of weeks, so stay tuned. If you'd like more information about the possibility of me speaking at your event, please visit my speaking page at michaelhyatt.com/speaking. Well, that's about it for this episode of This Is Your Life. I'd be so grateful if you would rate my podcast on iTunes. That helps tremendously with keeping my podcast visible so people who have never heard of it can discover it. If you'd like to comment in this episode, please go to michaelhyatt.com, go to the show notes for this episode, and scroll down to the comments section. I'd love to hear from you. Whatever you want to share with me, question, comment, or whatever. But until next time, remember, your life is a gift. Now go make it count. Are you who you want to be? This is your life. Are you who